Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors at Rochford & Associates, a fully independent fourth-generation family practice right here in the greater Phoenix area. And we have this radio show, Another Money Show, to bring you financial information you may not be hearing elsewhere. We're aware that with all the radio shows out there, the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. Today, we're going to chat about, a few things. We're going to bring up the banks again. That seems to be our favorite topic. We'll talk about some things in the news. But starting off, we'll probably talk about the market a little bit today. You know, since our last show aired and the last recording, the market's made quite a bit of rebound, and we get a lot of people reaching out to us kind of almost smug a little bit because the market's going up when we're kind of preaching that this could be the next Great Depression. And the thing is, our financial planning, the stuff we're doing for clients, it truthfully doesn't matter if the market goes up or down. We're protecting them both ways. We're allowing them to participate in the growth while taking out some of the risk, for the fall. Our planning, our setting a foundation, like we talk about, it doesn't matter if the market goes up or down. It's building a foundation so you're going to be set regardless. And the truth is, it's not that we want the market to go down or we're rooting for it to go down and people to lose money. Difference is we're not out there just trying to sell for the sake of selling. People want to be in the market. We could double our salary every year if we just sell people the things that they want to buy. But that's not us. We know enough about what's going on in the background. We know we're setting up for disaster. We're building a bubble. The government has no foundation. The market has no foundation. The Fed has no foundation, right? So people ask, is the market going to drop in 2 weeks? Is it going to be 6 months? Is it going to be a year? And I tell them, it could happen today and not stop falling for the next 5 years, and it would not surprise me one bit because we have no foundation. There's nothing holding this up that's not manipulation. That's it. And eventually you run out of ammo. What happened with inflation right now? The Fed kept the interest rates at zero for the last 15 years so that these large corporations, these institutional investors could borrow free money and lift up their stock prices. Yet now we have this massive amount of inflation caused by 2020, right? We shut down the economy and we print a bunch of money because, obviously that's going to fix issues. Did it stabilize our economy? No, it doubled our market. So we've just made a bad bubble that was terrible leading up to COVID, significantly worse. So are we rooting for the market to go down? No. Should it be going up? Absolutely not. And it wouldn't surprise me, right? And I shouldn't say wouldn't surprise me. What I'm saying is the market, in theory, could go up every single day, year over year, for the rest of eternity. I believe that's possible. If we have a stable economy, things are getting better, if we're growing as a society in a positive direction, then yeah, absolutely, the market could go up. But right now it's going up with none of that. Things are going the opposite direction. And the market and the economy aren't in lockstep. They're not the same thing. They're not the same at all. They're completely opposite entities. But should there be some sort of comparison? Should they go in lockstep a little bit? Yeah, that would make a lot more sense. So I don't know, Jared, did you want to talk today?
I don't need to. That was probably the best I've heard you in the 4.5 years that you've been in the office. No, when you first came in, you were like, JR, you've always been worried about stuff. There's always been stuff to worry about. And I was like, yeah, but not this much. Hang in there, start reading, start researching, and you'll see what I mean. Now, you sound more like me than me. So I kind of feel like
I think it's funny sometimes because people come in and, you know, they're like, well, I'm smarter than you because I can read MSN News, Money, and they tell me this stock is good. So if they say it's good and I can read all these articles, then it's good. Or, you know, people in their pockets, their little segments, you know, we've had to deal with that with realtors and housing. Like, oh, well, housing's so much stronger this time around than it was in 2000. I was like, yeah, but you know what? Housing isn't the stock market, but when housing fell, did it take down the stock market? Yes. So if everything else around housing is falling, housing's going to be affected. So it doesn't matter how strong that single pocket is. If everything else is falling, that's going to fall too. And our worry is we're watching everything, and everything seems to be on the verge of collapse.
This is so funny. I mean, I know I just said it, but you are JR now. So welcome. Well, keep your hands and feet in the cart at all times because you're on board now.
That's what I tell people is I used to be happy, and now I'm in this job with JR. And I'm thankful for it, though. I'm a lot more knowledgeable. But again, I mean, I think I even brought it up last week. On a personal level, for my finances, I don't care if the market falls because I only have enough allocated in it that I don't mind risking. And I also know that I have a timeline where if it takes 30 years to rebound like it did in the Great Depression in this country, or it takes 30 years to rebound like it did in Japan from the 90s up until, you know, the last few years it finally came back, you know, I have that time. I don't know if our listeners have that kind of time, though.
Whoa, that is a thought of Anthony Correo. I feel like if you're listening to the show, you are definitely young, even if you're in your 90s. A couple things for you. One, let me take you back a few minutes. You said we want to make people safer for the fall. Did you mean like autumn change of seasons or like the fall of civilization? I just want to clarify.
I mean, we bring up the fall. I mean, we talk about setting a foundation, and the first part of that is having food and water at home. So maybe both. Maybe the fall of civilization happens in the fall this year. Who knows?
That was a good segue into something I want to say. I want to get this out right up front because we're going to have a great show today. We're going to talk about a lot of financial stuff, which will be unusual for us. It'll be unusual for us. So, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, you know, you're crazy. You've always been crazy. You're worried. You wear a tinfoil hat. Yeah, I know. So everything you're saying, what's going on, and people are starting to see it, feel it, think it, you know, should you have extra food? Yes. Should you put a second mortgage on your house to buy said extra food? No. Life is about moderation. Hedge your bets. So buy a little extra food, put it in the pantry, put some under your bed, whatever. You know, you should have 5 gallons of water per adult, per large size dog. We've been itemizing what people should do. You know, you and I took a little tour a few weeks ago. A neighbor told us about an LDS warehouse where they have number 10 cans and rice and beans and hot chocolate and all kinds of stuff. It's interesting. I think everybody should go there. I don't know if we're allowed to say where it is or too much about it, but just kind of do some research and look up.
Reach out to us. We'll tell you.
Reach out to us personally. Yes. And we'll tell you about it. But it to me, I mean, it seemed relatively inexpensive, and it just, all they're selling is peace of mind. So if you haven't, you don't need it. So what? If you need it and you don't have it, you have a problem. Our whole premise is be prepared, not scared. You know, we help people, we protect and grow in that order. That's not a bad thing. You know, when you say that people come in once in a while, you said the word smug, I believe. People want to say we're wrong. Well, the beginning of this year, we were very right. You know, we had already gotten a lot of our clients safer. We were proactive, not reactive, as we always strive to be. And they thought we were pretty smart. And then all of a sudden there was a little rebound for a few weeks there. And they were like, oh, so yeah, you were not right. And then there was a big dump again a few weeks ago. And now the last couple of weeks, here we go up again. Well, you know, I realize we're not a political show, but let me ask you a question. Is there any way that this is what they consider a melt up? And perhaps this is going to last for the next 2 weeks for the midterms. And then after midterms, it's going to fall. You know, I said last week, taking oil out of the strategic reserve, if you feel like that's the way to go as a government, do it, but do it after the midterms. Just wait a couple of weeks, and then it won't appear like it could potentially be political. You know, and by the way, the strategic oil reserve, now we're down to the lowest level we've been since 1993. You know what that oil level is for? That's for emergencies. Gas prices at the pump, that is not an emergency. It may feel like it to a lower middle class family. It is not. They're talking about war and they're talking about, you know, chaotic disruption. That's what it's there for. You know, Anthony, you remember a few years ago when oil, when barrels of oil actually went negative? You remember we were making some phone calls. So, you know, people that we knew had their eye on oil were like, yeah, maybe it's the time to buy when it's free. You know, maybe this is a good time to pick some up. It was like, right, we made that was, some money.
I do remember that. Some of my assets under management clients, that's when everybody was getting out. That's when we were buying in. I mean, oil wasn't going anywhere. And the fact that they're paying people to pick up barrels, you know, we didn't necessarily see free gas at the pump. You know, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But oil stocks plummeted. That's when we picked them up because that is a smart buy. You know, we talk about that right now. You can do sector rotation. You can do smart purchasing, stuff like that. You know, when some stocks are on sale, the problem is even that we have to be careful and do moderation now because we're in a bubble. You know, Warren Buffett, the best investor in the world, you know, in 2008, his Berkshire Hathaway B shares lost over 40%. So if the greatest investor in the world can lose that amount of money, you can too. And you can lose more if you're not nearly as good as him. I believe in you. If you really believe in yourself, you can lose a lot more money than Warren Buffett. So that's the problem. When you're in a bubble market the way we are, even when things are smart purchases and on sale now, it's like, well, you still kind of have to wait for that bubble to burst. It's 15 years of a run up in a market with some volatility in the fourth quarter of 2018, which is, you know, the reason for that volatility was the Fed wanted to be proactive with interest rates and the market threw a fit. So, you know, helping to lead into where we are now. And then March of 2020, where the entire world shut down and the market fell, because that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is that since then, the market has doubled. But right now, we're going to turn it over to our serious Jim producer. He's got a little something for us to lead out.
Well, yesterday I was called an esteemed producer, but I'll take serious. Great job, by the way, guys. You were doing what the kids call spitting fire in segment one. Hey, don't forget, along with listening to Another Money Show every Saturday at noon on 960 The Patriot, you can listen back to this and previous shows in our podcast catalog. It's very simple. All you have to do is hit that subscribe button on Apple, Google, or Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and you can listen at any time, anywhere, to Another Money Show. 960 The Patriot, we're back in a moment.
Remember, all of JR and Anthony's listeners receive a free financial consultation just for listening to the show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com to learn more and schedule an appointment. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show and subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts.
Another weekend, Another Money Show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
960 The Patriot, welcome back inside Another Money Show. Hey, if you like what you've heard today or in previous weeks, reach out to JR and Anthony for a free consultation. Fine gentlemen, if I may say so myself. And they'll help lead you to financial freedom. Call 623-523-0444. Again, 623-523-0444. Or reach out at team@anothermoneyshow.com. All right, friendly reminder, always be prepared, not scared, proactive, not reactive, right, guys? Good phrases to live by as we get more into today's show, talking about investing in a market that's a little bit volatile, right?
Yeah, just a hair. This market's just a bit outside. Way to go, Jim. You know, we are being replaced. I'm sure people listening are like, get rid of those two. And by the way, when Jim says reach out to these fine gentlemen, it doesn't matter which one you get. Whoever answers the phone, because as of this morning, Anthony and I are completely interchangeable. that was the most similar to what I think all the time that I've heard yet. So back to the market. You know, when people feel like they're trying to time the market, you know, you guys are right, you guys are wrong. You know, you're trying to manage money into the future without a crystal ball. Everything you said, Anthony, makes sense. There is zero foundation. We are a house of cards like never before. How's inflation going to end? Is it hyperinflation? Do we beat it because of these increases in interest rates? We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you're talking about people that are looking at their retirement funds and they're trying to figure it out. By the way, you know, when you tell people read, research, you know, do what I do, be a little sponge, take in everything you can, and then use your own critical thinking skills and try to make the best decisions you can for yourself. You have to remember when, and I have to remember this once in a while, I need to remember anytime I read an article, this is opinion. You know, if you want to look backward and see what the facts are, you can do that. But when you're reading what people think are coming, that's what people think are coming. That's their opinion, not fact. So you got to be careful. You know, we're watching this market right now, whether it is political, whether the melt up is very much contrived. You know, don't forget the Dow Jones Industrial Average consists of 30 companies. A lot of people still don't know that. It's pretty easy to manipulate 30 companies, offshore accounts, stock buybacks, AKA repurchasing, you know, tax breaks. It's pretty easy to make waves with that. And something I need to dig into, I used to know this, you know, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google. I haven't looked at this in a long time. Aren't some of those or all of those in the S&P 500 and not the NASDAQ? You know, so
well, there's some crossover in between those because the NASDAQ's tech companies, but S&P can kind of be whatever. And S&P is approximately 500 companies. And it's not exactly 500, but their hold of the entire market share, you know, all the money out there in the stock world is about 80%, if I remember correctly. So looking at the S&P 500 is a much better indicator of the market as a whole, because it incorporates so much.
But since we have three different major benchmarks, I know there's the Russell 2000, there's all kinds of other ones, but the main ones are the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and the S&P. Clearly, the NASDAQ being tech, I think all of the FANG stocks should be in the NASDAQ. And I agree with you. The S&P is probably the most important to watch, but it should be a weighted average. We should take the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and the S&P and use a weighted average on those. So, you know, one thing that you and I discussed yesterday, the plunge team. If you've heard us in the past, you've heard us talk about something called the plunge team. This melt up is scary. You know, we just recently talked about the railroad strike. How's this for getting off track with my ADD? So the railroad strike that was averted in the final hour by our government, it's not over. There's people that are saying, and I heard it put out this way, after the midterms, watch out for the railroad strike to come back. You know, everything could get really, really, really sketchy. And in the past, what we've seen, there's something called the plunge team. If the S&P 500 goes up 20 or 30% next Monday, they will let it go up 20 or 30%. But if it goes down, I don't even remember what it was. I think it's 5% or 7%.
I think it's 7, yeah.
They stop the trading. They put a pause for like a half an hour and then they start it again. And if it happens again, they pause the trading. I believe they do that three times and then they stop trading for the entire trading day. And I'm like, I don't get it. I do not get it. How come if it's a free market, you let unlimited upside, but you don't allow unlimited downside? It's a rigged game. Sorry, kids. So here's my answer. Pay down debt, buy hard assets. You know, should you have some securities? When we meet with you individually, we'll ascertain that. What's your time frame? What's your risk tolerance? What's your age? What's your income? What's your taxes? What are your feelings on risk? We'll figure all that out for you individually. But I can tell you right now, the world around you says you ought to be really darn careful with things that can fall a lot faster than they go up. Jim just put in the little chat box, railroad strike. You know, nobody's talking about it. We are. You know, tune into us because we're talking about stuff that seems to be boring and old news. BNSF, CSX, Norfolk Southern, Union Pacific, they're coming out with additional demands from the workers.
You know, yeah, and isn't it they all have to be in agreement too? So it's not just one union here, one union there, and they can come into agreements with a few of them. It's an all or nothing is my understanding of this.
I believe that is
this many different ones with additional demands, and trying to get this many people to agree on anything is practically impossible. I mean, there's only two of us on this radio show and Jared and I don't agree on much. So imagine getting all of these different groups with all of these different people. So
We do today.
That one's going to be a tough one. We sat with that guy who worked for the railroad almost right after they had their, quote unquote resolution. And he's like, oh no, this isn't done. That was a preliminary. That was just like, that was very top level.
And he also said it's not done by a long shot. He said that they're too far apart. He said it's not going to be done. And it just, everything's fragile. We talk about our 10 pillars all the time. There's so much that can go south. And yet this past calendar week, our 401ks are, the Dow is back, 32,000 again. It was at 28 a couple weeks ago. It's just not making sense. So we want to make sure at least the people that we deal with are awake and are aware and are nimble. Whether we're right or wrong, we don't know. So,
and that's the thing too, is setting a good foundation. This stuff shouldn't matter. You shouldn't have to watch the news every single day about the stock market. You should be set up in a position where that if it goes up, you benefit. And if it goes down, you're still safe. Protection over growth at this point.
That's not what people are taught. It's not what people are taught. They get in front of somebody with a blue suit, white shirt, red tie, highly polished shoes, and they're just sales. There's no financial. Our job is sales first and foremost, because even if you're the most honest advisor on the planet, if you don't keep moving things, you're going to be out of a job. So find somebody fully independent. Find somebody that really seems to speak the truth, whether they gain or not. I'm getting passionate again. And really, a lot of this whole thing is if you find somebody that cares for you, whether they're with a big firm or a little firm, that's like gold. Run with that all day long. But with that said, why don't we go ahead and take a break and then resume this level of passion momentarily? As always, we are so glad you're with us. Thank you so much. And you can find us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us, as Jim said, on the podcasts. Give us a call, 623-523-0444, and we'll help you in any way we can. Thanks.
You're listening to Another Money Show. To learn more and contact JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com. You're listening to Another Money Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Another Money Show with Anthony Correo and JR Rochford. And we had a little discussion with Jim right before leading into this segment and starting to record again. And last week we were talking about how life expectancy is dropping. So, that's good news, right? Because you need less money to get you by. But when I was saying earlier, I might want to kind of retract because I said, I'm young enough to have 30 years to recover my money if there's another Great Depression. But what I didn't take into account is the possibility of a nuclear holocaust. So maybe I don't have much time left. Maybe we all have the same amount of time. So I don't know why we're giving financial advice at all. Maybe it's just spend everything you have, buy that Corvette that you always wanted.
All right. I need to intervene here as your stepfather, your business partner, the voice of reason, the one who is always considered crazy and you're less crazy or not crazy at all. Well, let's not bring up nuclear holocaust into our show.
This show has taken a severe turn.
Right. It's bad enough when you tell somebody we think there's going to be a 90% stock market decline. Then there's going to be a bank bail-in and then there's going to be digital currency. That's scary enough. You're going to double down and say that like North Korea might shoot a nuclear ICBM or Russia might attack somebody. That's doubling down. So, one thing that you at 32 years of age, and I believe Jim is 33 years of age, you are the age range that has to fix all this. I don't care if people are like, well, the baby boomers messed it all up. You guys, you did all this. It doesn't matter who did what. Going forth, your generation has to fix it. And I apologize for you. We have a failing social fabric in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. You have to fix it. We have $31 trillion in debt on the books. You have to fix it. There's a whole bunch of people that are your age that are not prepared to fix it. You and Jim might be collateral damage because you're smart and you save more than you spend and you did put away some food and you do save for retirement. You do all the right things, but there's a whole bunch of people in your age range that do not. And here's something interesting. I have three kids, all boys, It's amazing to watch the difference. The youngest one, who is 18, and by the way, quick side story, my poor boy who's 18 was in an automobile accident yesterday. And I think since I have this platform, I'm going to bring something up. So this, in 1 year, this poor kid has had three accidents. Twice he was hit. He was standing still and he was hit. Neither of those two drivers were cited. I asked the officers on both scenes why that would be. And they basically, I never really got a full answer that I understood. They're like, it's a no-fault state. That they don't have to cite. I was like, okay, but I think it's going to be harder to deal with the insurance company if the other person doesn't get a hit. And since citation, and my son was just sitting there when he got hit. So it seems pretty clear cut to me. But both times, I am still dealing with the insurance company. Now, yesterday, unfortunately, it was my son's fault. Everybody admitted that. And he did get cited. So I don't get it, but that's just a personal thing. But he is okay. The most important thing, he's okay, and we're moving on. But back to financial matters with my poor three times a charm accident son. So he's in talks right now with the family on buying a new cell phone. And I'm watching this whole thing. He's working. He seems to be working hard. He loves his job. And we've talked a little bit about a Roth IRA. We started talking about taxes. I'm trying to kind of educate him now that he's seeing what goes on in the real world. You know what his priority is? A new cell phone. So the first one he shows me was $1,498. And it kind of made me, I get angry about this because first of all, a cell phone, you know, and he's, well, it's a little computer. I get that. You don't need a little computer. It's bad for your eyes. It's bad for your brain. Get off TikTok and YouTube. So, but $1,500 for a cell phone. I just had an experience when we upgraded and we never buy the newest model. My wife and I, we bought a couple generations old Samsung Galaxies for $800 for a phone, but we all need it nowadays. So anyway, our phones, I won't say the name of the carrier. They're pink and white, but our carrier, the phone charger did not come with the phone. I can't make this stuff up. We paid $1,600 for two phones, and then we had to pay another $40 for phone chargers. Anyway, back, you know, if I can keep on track.
Corporate greed.
Yeah, it's corporate greed on steroids.
They know you need it.
How do you tell an 18-year-old? How do you tell a 24-year-old, stop this? You know, well, the batteries are dying. The batteries die faster, and I need a new one. It's like they have you conditioned to spend your money on a new phone every 2 years or less. You know, you guys got to fix this. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and we had that's a kind of a good segue because we talked about corporate greed and the inflation, but the numbers came out from the Bureau of Economic Analysis, you know, over the last few years versus in these high inflation rates. But we're running out of time. So we are going to talk to you about that as soon as we get back. And in the meantime, you can listen to Another Money Show wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find us at anothermoneyshow.com or you can reach out to us directly at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me. The love we share seems to go.
This is Another Money Show. Except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
Another weekend, another money show, 960 The Patriot. Thanks for listening. If you've missed any part of today's show or previous episodes, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget JR and Anthony. They're here to help. Call 623-523-0444. Or you can reach out via email team@anothermoneyshow.com for a free consultation. Great stuff today, guys. I got to tell you, going through everything that we've discussed, the market and the lack of foundation, talking about even life expectancy dropping, how we're 31, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying it, $31 trillion in debt. But also, Anthony, you teased at the end of last segment about how these corporations, and we're going to give examples of how they price gouge their customers.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, you've seen that with phones. Appliances in general are not made to last anymore. They're made to break, so you can replace and buy more, you know, because these companies aren't making money if you keep your dishwasher for 40 years. I mean, we've got a fridge in our office that is probably older than I am, probably closer to JR's age, but it still works just fine. That is not what we're seeing anymore.
It's avocado green. It is literally the old 70s refrigerator, and it works so well. Our brand new, I don't know what it is, Kenmore, some ridiculous thing in our house, is about 10 years old, and it's been hobbling. It makes loud noises. It barely gets cold.
So in the nuclear holocaust, it's going to be the cockroaches and these avocado green refrigerators.
Nuclear, and by the way, there's a term for that. I think it's called planned obsolescence. It's basically, yeah, you know, when I was a kid, roofs would last 40, 50, 60 years, air conditioners, 20, 30 years, you know, and now all this stuff, they're like, if you get 10 years out of your air conditioner, you know, you're lucky. And how much is the new air conditioner? Oh, they're $6,000 each. What? You know, how did they make them so much cheaper that they don't even last? Go ahead, Anthony.
We talked about CEO pay increases versus the every average day American pay increases. We talked about, you know, the price of homes, the price of college is, geez, that one just obnoxious. So basically what happened, right? So we're talking about the Bureau of Economic Analysis. So there are costs to, say, a widget, right? We're just going to anything, you know, talk about these refrigerators, there's phones. Broken down into three segments, you've got the cost of the materials, right? So we know cost of materials and things have gone up. Cost of labor, there's this massive push right now to increase labor costs. Now, the argument coming from some sides is, oh, we can't raise labor costs because that's going to increase the costs all around. We're going to have massive inflation. Well, we have massive inflation while still underpaying most of our citizens. So much for that. But we're kind of conditioned to think that raising pay and trying to build up a middle class is a negative thing, right? These companies can't make money anymore. So you have labor costs, you have the cost of the material, and then these companies, they do need to make a profit. They need to make profits so they can expand, so they can hire people. Profits aren't bad. Greed, however, not so good. So before, in the years 1979 to 2019, the average, right, for these three sections for labor cost was about 7.9%. So of the total cost of this widget going out, 7.9% is labor. The non-labor inputs, the materials themselves, I'm reading off the wrong ones. So the non-labor components were 38.3%. The labor cost was Jim, we're going to have you go back and edit all that because I have screwed all of this up. So
you don't need to edit, Jim. When the nuclear holocaust gets here, this is going to be wiped out anyway.
Yeah, right. So we don't have to worry about it. So maybe we don't even make it from our recording to it. The problem is the colors are too close together.
So let's do this. Let me sum up the article that you sent. Corporate profits. I'm going to read a one that really sums it up. Corporate profits only accounted for roughly 11% of price growth from 1979 to 2019. Today, record corporate profits account for 53.9% of price increases. Folks, corporate greed is driving inflation, not workers asking for better wages. You know, the wages are stagnant. Yes, that is true. But this inflation, this is the problem. So, and is there corporate greed? It seems like there is. And they're using that window of opportunity to do their stock buybacks. So they're making hay while the sun's shining. Correct. And we all know it. We all feel it.
Yeah. So labor costs actually have gone down. So we talk about raising wages, but the traditional, you know, the average from the past was 61.8% of these widget costs was labor. Right now, that's only 7.9%. So we talk about raising wages and trying to increase that middle class, yet it's such a massive difference. If anything, it's cheaper now than it ever was in the past. You know, the cost of the goods themselves have increased, but they've increased by about 10%. It's that corporate profits that are just absolutely, it's atrocious, really. Did you disappear?
Nope, I'm here. I'm just taking in what you're saying. And I really, you know, the answer for me is the same as always. What happens next? Do we rein this in? Does it keep getting worse? You know, do we tip? The unknowns are so great. And, you know, you can tie this back to the first segment. If the markets are flying high again this past week, why? Why? I mean, you know, when you look at what's going on, everything comes so fast, by the way. I mean, you know, do you realize that Halloween is next week? Do you realize after that, then Thanksgiving is in a month? I mean, I read something this morning that kind of shocked me. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation, I didn't even know there was such a thing, the typical Thanksgiving dinner includes the staples of a 16-pound turkey, a gallon of milk, potatoes, ham. It's the, wait to hear this, the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows that an 8 to 16-pound turkey cost $1.99 last week, up from $1.15 a year ago. This represents an almost 75% increase. So we're talking about small numbers on these, on the food items and so forth, but they add up. I read this morning that the average family is spending about spending $445 a month more than they were 2 years ago. Gas, food, all the stuff.
Yeah, and our wages yep. increasing with that. I mean, I saw a meme earlier today that was joking about, you know, the Great Depression of 1929, right? And it's saying, oh no, I lost my house, I lost all my savings. And then it's talking about, you know, today in the 2020s, it was like, well, luckily I don't have a house or savings, so I have nothing to lose. So it's really sad, but it's kind of where we're at with all of these institutional, you know, investors buying up all the homes, with people living paycheck to paycheck. Like, people had a lot more to lose 100 years ago than they do now, and that's sad.
So speaking of things to lose, I mean, don't forget, one of the things that we like to rail about is your money in the bank. How's that, Jim, for a segue? So, you know, you lost your house, you lost your job, you lost your dog, all that stuff. Well, what if you lose your money in a bank? Why do people use banks? Because they're safe. It's liquid. It's funny. Oh, wow. Jim just put a little stat for us on the screen. 32% of young people moving back in with their parents.
Well, right. And you guys mentioned and made the comparison of the Great Depression about, oh, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my savings. Well, that's a number for you right there. 32% of people, according to that, again, according to what I just Googled, 32% of those people, they're not worried about losing their house because they have a place to go.
And I am not good with numbers or math, but 32%, that's in a range of a third. That's a shocking number. If that's accurate, that's
That's by the way, from lendingtree.com. Just want to cite that.
So, I mean, we already talked about the problems that this country had leading up to, you know, pre-COVID, the issues, but the fact that this has been building up, people don't really have things. There's, you don't have anything to lose, you know. The middle class isn't what the middle class used to be of years and years ago. So I don't know if that's sadder. I don't know if it will make the impact less. I don't know. What we know is it's not good. Oh, but let's go back to the banks, because, right, in theory, that should be the safest place to hold your money.
Well, yeah, in theory. And the banks are a necessary evil. Sorry, Chase. You know, the banks, we need them. We've got to put money in there. That's where you put your emergency fund. That's where you put your money so you can pay for your insurance, which is about to go up in some people's cases. That's where you need your liquid money. So it's safe. It's there for you. You know, part of the problem, people feel like they're safe because in the stock market, you can lose 20% of your money in one quarter. You know, in the bank, you can't. Well, you can't until you can, perhaps, because we look at FDIC.gov. Go ahead, kids, and jot that down. FDIC.gov. We go on there once in a while. The coffers, the insurance to cover your money is at 1.23%. Let that soak in for a second. I mean, that means almost 99% of your money. They don't have money to cover it. So how safe is it? If there was a bank bail in, I know we're all familiar with the term bail out. Thank you a lot, 2008. So the word bail in just means they're going to close the doors of the bank. If you want to do a little research, Greece is probably the most famous example, but you can find it in Yemen, I believe Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil. There's a lot of places. China, there's a lot of people.
Those aren't the U.S. We'll be fine over here.
Yeah, we're going to be okay in this country. It can never happen here. Well, until it does. Anyway, so in 2017, I started showing people a little flyer that actually came in with my statement. This was at a credit union. By the way, you cannot avoid this. You can't go to a credit union or go to a online bank. All of these institutions are basically under the same situation. So anyway, so this, there was a little flyer in my statement. Let me read one short part of it. This clause may require you to provide the credit union written notice of your intent to make a withdrawal from your account at least 7 calendar days and up to 60 calendar days before you would like to make the withdrawal. The credit union may also limit the amount of cash provided in a withdrawal and may limit larger amounts to be non-cash items. So if I have to give you a week to 2 months notice to get my money, that could be problematic. By the way, you know what's missing from that little paragraph? How much? You know, I know you're, if you go to a bank right now, I don't care what bank, and you ask for $5,000 or more, you're going to have to make an appointment. They're going to give you a hassle. You really better get to know your bankers and have them trust you and know you. So, but the problem is if I want $14, this can apply. That means they're admitting, and this was in 2017, they're admitting there could be a snag. And if you don't close your account, you're accepting their terms and conditions. You can't say, I want to opt out of that part of it. I always want to be able to get my money. So, you know,
and you can't pay for cash and things, you know, the way you used to. You can't pay your bills in cash. Like you have to have a bank. They force you. And just imagine what it'll be like when it's a digital currency, the amount of control they're going to have.
And digital currency should be scary. By the way, I bring it up all the time, but make sure you look up Executive Order 14067, particular attention to Section 4. I'm screaming it louder. I think we may actually be coming closer to things changing dramatically in this country. And I hate to leave this on a low note, but I want to wrap it up. We do need to do another full segment on the banks. We do need to talk about the reserves and all that. But for now, I think we had fun today. I mean, other than your whole fascination with nuclear Armageddon, I think it was a good day. So
yeah, solid.
We are certainly always so happy that people are putting up with us and listening to us. If we can better your situation, we will be so honored. Reach out to us. Make sure you find us, and we will sit down with you one at a time. We have no minimums. We have no quotas. Fiduciary, everything that's on the plus side, we'll offer it to you. So reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com or give us a call, 623-523-0444. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.